This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. If you were to read any technology trends for 2018 in the articles, AI or artificial intelligence is definitely high up in the list. In fact, AI is not only a trend for 2018, but it has been for a number of years now, even way back in the 80s. It's a reality, and if you're not invested in AI in some forms, you're at risk in losing out. But where do you begin, you may ask? Well, today on the show is someone who will be able to answer a few questions about AI and what exactly is AI within organizations.
Hopefully, Jeff. My name is Sheikh Mansur Ghani. I'm the Executive Director of Operations with SAS Malaysia.
And who are SAS Malaysia?
SAS is a leading provider of technology and services for organizations that want to basically make sense of that data. So we've been around for globally around 41 years.
Oh, wow.
In Malaysia, we've been around for 31 years. Essentially, we help organizations make use of their data for them to help the decision-making processes and help improve the organizational well-being as a whole.
AI has been around for that many years, 40 over years, 30 over years?
Absolutely. Of course, it was not known as AI then.
Called, you know, something else.
Data.
So now it's branded into, you know, artificial intelligence, AI. So a lot of people are slapping this term into almost every presentation deck that we see nowadays.
Thanks to Hollywood.
Thanks to Hollywood and then, you know, Iron Man and all that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But what exactly is, you know, artificial intelligence from a SAS Malaysia perspective? And what isn't AI?
Okay, an interesting question. It can go from whichever way direction you want to pull it, right? Because, but I think from SAS perspective, I think we want to stick to more on the corporate side of what AI does, essentially around data. But I think I just want to digress slightly onto the other side, where general sense of what AI means is, I think a lot of people get confused by watching a lot of movies and see what AI is represented in the movies. And of course, today we see a lot of, and I'm going to mention some branded names, like, I hope it doesn't offend anybody, but, you know, essentially Google Car and stuff like that. Those are the face of AI that people can relate to and see that in real visible terms, right? Those are AI in a consumer fashion, or things like Siri or Cortana.
We're so familiar then with the phones.
Exactly.
And stuff,
so
right?
those are consumer facing stuff of the AI. But on a flip side, in a corporate environment, the AI is not as sophisticated as it comes out to be from a consumer. Because in a consumer way of using AI, is very much packaged and utilized and for them to. It's very dummy friendly, right?
Yeah.
So everybody is idiot proof, right?
You just talk to it.
Yeah, you just talk to it, and it's made, you know, you just be an idiot. You use it, right? But in a corporate environment, it's a lot different. It's trying to understand what information that the organization has already has,
right?
And of course, the trick is then also to leverage on external data that the organization has not collected. So, for example, in various circumstances, depending on usage, they may want to use weather patterns, traffic data, whatever, and see how that relates to their business and make sense of that business impact. Because today, that's where AI or machine learning has evolved, because it's starting to make use of external data, not just only data that organization has put together based on the organization's internal processes, usually their own transaction processing system, ranging from financial systems to customer information systems, supply chain, etc. Those has been the traditional way of how organizations collect the data. But today, there is capability for them to take external data, which they've not been collecting as part of their processes, and see how that third-party data relates to the situation.
So what's changed in that sense? Like, you know, I understand now we're just, you know, vast amounts of data, you know, hence the big data term came about. But what's changed in the artificial intelligence space that we're now sort of saying, oh, wow, AI can be so beneficial within my organization? But using data analytics as a business tool is not a stranger in any organizations.
You're right, absolutely.
So what's changed in that sense that now we're like, you have to do this or you're going to, you know, innovate or die? in that sense, right?
Yeah, in a way, correct. So I think a lot of this has been brought on by trying to either improve the bottom line or trying to make sense of how to reduce costs or be more customer facing, how to be to bring better service to the clients or to have improvements in the product quality issues, etc. Right. So I think because general consumer has become more demanding. Generally, I mean, consumer has changed. Like, you know, you, me, today we buy things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't, you know, I generally buy things online and half the time I actually review and see what somebody else has said it.
Yeah.
So the review of that individual is very, very important for me to whether to buy or not buy from this stuff. Like, so I
don't even know this individual.
Exactly.
But I somehow trust
this individual. And that has played an important role for the provider of that product now to make use of the information and ensure that feedback about his service, feedback about his product is incorporated into how it and it's analytics, but if they take it to the next level, it all can be fully automated. And that's where AI starts to come in. When I don't have to manually go and pull this data and figure out what this data means to me, but if I build all this entire steps, processes about if this information is picked up about my product, generally bring it back and give feedback to me and see how I can improve it. So that's how AI has become. AI has become basically a series of algorithms and mathematical models to basically put together a series of if else, if F, what if rules. And generally, you know, rather than trying to have human eyeball view that data and trying to make sense of the data, that's one aspect of it.
And you know, when we talk about AI, there's also the other term, machine learning, that's thrown around. Machine learning is slightly different in the sense, or is it, you know, similar to the AI?
From my perspective, and I cannot really tell the difference between the two, so I think general consumers mostly
it would be
there,
the same.
Right? It would generally be the same, except that machine learning basically is a part of AI. Some people call it, but I would probably use the two terms interchangeably.
You can't take one out
you
of the other.
Can't take on one or the other. Mm-hmm. It's essentially, you know, how people call it machine learning, but it's generally from a layman's term is whatever mathematical algorithms you've put in place is how you keep improving those algorithms to have a better decision-making, better prediction capabilities, and stuff like that. So that's essentially what machine learning does. Machine learning keeps, if it comes up with one algorithm the first time around, you take in more data, it comes up with a reiterative process, change that algorithm, it comes up with a different set of outcome. That's basically what it means. It just means the decision-making capabilities is keeps improving all the time.
So how are organizations, and I presume governments as well, are looking at, you know, advanced analytics capabilities like, you know, AI and machine learning as well, right?
You said it at the beginning, right? You said there's a lot of buzz around this and stuff like that, right?
So every article I read seems to just say AI.
So it's depending on the range and where we are, and it's interesting, you know, why you brought it up, and it's interesting how this has come about. And from our perspective, and I personally like to say this, is the fact that whenever you want to embark on something that's related to analytics or artificial intelligence or machine learning, it's important for us to identify what is the use case. What are we doing this for? Because a lot of people just jump on the bandwagon and say, yeah, I'm IoT, I'm machine learning. Let's jump on it and let's do this. What exactly incremental value is this going to bring to my organization? No one actually starts to define it, and it becomes very, very difficult. But organizations doing it, I think from a government or even at a municipal level, traffic management is very, very important. Right? A lot of municipals are beginning to look how they can actually help improve the traffic management system using things like AI and artificial intelligence and IoT. So, for example, today, I can quote examples where SAS has worked with external parties like Barcelona, City of Barcelona, and today we're doing some – they've actually got smart traffic light management system whereby they look at a series of traffic lights, and all of these traffic lights are interconnected with each other. And there's sensors that detect if the traffic starts to build up, the whole series of traffic lights will just turn into green. They actually don't need a traffic police person sitting in there and managing traffic. That's how artificial intelligence is being used in some of these cities, right? So I think in our part of the world, Malaysia is beginning to look at this, how they can actually deploy AI by having smart traffic lights. And the sensors itself dictate how the traffic light you know, turns green, red, and yellow. That's one example in a government services related. In other corporates, in telcos, a lot of telcos, the work we do with telcos, they're using it to understand customer behavior, customer patterns, customers' consumption, how the customers use their products and services. What the telcos that we're working with, they've been able to actually understand what customers' behavior is and be able to prescribe the right plans and packages for those customers. Because they come up with a certain plan that some folks cannot really utilize as much. So, for example, we have today an example where a telco has come up with a daily plan. Mm. People are subscribing to daily plan because they don't want to commit themselves over a 30-day period, etc. Mm. And that has proven successful for that particular telco. They've seen their revenues go up, skyrocket. And essentially, that is because they've been able to mine the data. They've been able to understand this group or segment of customers of theirs, what they use, how they use their services, and how much of the SMSs they use, how much of the voices they use, how much of the internet data that they use. And they were able to come up with a package that they found suited for this group of customers. Mm. What they then did is reach out to this group of customers and say, hey, we've got this package for you that you can use this much at this price. Would you be interested? And that's how they did it.
So AI, in that sense, still goes back to the fundamental of running a business, knowing your customer and serving them, you know, at perfection in
that
sense, right?
That's what it is, right? But it also brings about improvement in the process, right? But yeah, you're right. Fundamentally, it's still part of the business. What it does, right, is helps you reduce the time, you know, the human interaction of having to eyeball certain issues. A lot of time, a lot of issues, you know, for example, in a factory shop floor, Today, the use of security cameras, the security high-definition security cameras can actually take images and be able to compare images between what is a defective product versus what should be the product type. The images can be compared, which human eyes
can't tell,
right? Especially in high-tech manufacturing where the chips are so razor-thin, you can't really tell. Mm. But use of technology with enhanced camera digital devices, AI effectively is able to tell you where those defectives are. Mm. And that's real improvement in technology.
All right. We'll go for a short break. When we come back, we'll find out just how would you venture into the world of artificial intelligence or advanced analytics capabilities. We're speaking to Sheikh Manzoor Ghani. He's the Executive Director of and Operations for SAS Malaysia. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Sheikh Manzoor Ghani. He's the Executive Director of Operations for SAS Malaysia, and we're talking about artificial intelligence, not the consumer stuff, the killer robots that Elon Musk has warned us about, and, you know, it's not the Terminators.
I'll be back.
We're talking about, you know, a tool that could really help you in your business itself. And it's going back to, you know, Sheikh, you mentioned earlier on about how it's understanding your consumers or your customers and serving them to
your
perfection
products.
You know, we've seen, you've given a very good example of, you know, a telco serving a type of customers that, you know, predominantly they may even just forget about them because it's such a small number in that sense. And, you know, AI helps you to look into the finer details in the area. But I'm sure there are differences in how analytics is being used in different sectors as well. Or are they pretty much the same?
Essentially, pretty much the same, right?
Okay.
Essentially, at the raw level, it's pretty much the same. But as I mentioned just now, it's the use cases varies across the time. Sometimes it's revenue related. So when it's revenue related, the organization wants to ensure that they understand the consumer's perception of their products and services so that they can either tweak at the price level or the service level, etc. But In the other aspects, even from a manufacturing process or even a service level, so we've got oil and gas companies that want to make sure that the equipment that they are using is constantly being managed and monitored. Mm. Because for them, those equipments are very, very expensive to maintain. And whenever these equipments break down, they have, you know, loss of production time, downtime, etc. And for them, it's a big issue, especially in oil and gas, right? So they lose millions of dollars a day as long as the production is down. So today, we're helping them understand when some of these, and try and predict, help them predict when exactly these machines are going to break down. And the use of IoT and sensors in that usage essentially helps them predict, based on the vibrations, based on the temperatures that these devices send out, that these machines are about to break down, right? So that's one aspect of it. In manufacturing usage, we're able to actually help organizations understand where exactly the quality issues are happening, whether actually at the production manufacturing level, or it could be a defective product that was supplied by a third-party supplier. So the use of analytics can actually help them in that respect.
Is AI a lot about the software side of things? Because, I understand also, for the IoT side, there's hardware, and the reason why it's on a surge is, sensors and chips are becoming a lot more cheaper now. But for AI itself, it's still very much software-based, in the cloud, somewhere stored where we don't know and we don't seem to know how it operates, but it's something that we can just pull and on command at any point of time. Is that how?
Not really. No. Again, this is a misnomer, right? Because cloud is cloud, and people tend to confuse AI with cloud. Cloud is essentially a choice of deployment. Today, there's a lot of providers of platform or infrastructure that you can subscribe to, that you don't actually need to have the infrastructure on your premise. So it's actually the word that people tend to use: on-premise, off-premise, right? So on-premise means you actually have, servers on-premise and stuff like that. And if you don't want to have it on-premise, you have it in a data center. If you don't have it in a data center, it's somewhere out there, and that's where you start to call it the cloud, and you subscribe to that as a platform. AI is not so much of that, and it's more about the use of data. So an interesting point you brought up just now was, I think, it's not just so much of the technology, it's also the people. And I think this is a key part of any successes of artificial intelligence or machine learning projects or big data analytics that organizations want to embark on, right? So no point investing in technologies that if you don't have the right mindset in the organization that is going to help you propel to the next level. Talent is very, very important. And one of the key aspects of artificial intelligence and machine learning is this is a very highly regulated, machine-intensive mathematical simulation analysis, because you are intensifying the amount of data that you're going to collect, the right amount of data for the right business use, and you got to have the right kind of mindset to be able to understand what this data means and how it's going to be applied. So, it's not just about machines, it's not just about software, and it's also making sure that as an organization, they have the right talent. If they don't, and sometimes, and this is an interesting thing, a lot of people think they can train existing resources within an organization. Hey, pick this guy, that guy, and then get them trained, send them for software training, and that's it, off they go. But in reality, you most likely you'll have to supplement those capabilities with external. You have to hire in some of these resources and bring them into the organization, and most times change the way you do things. Because the most important thing is there's no point you having all of these new talents brought in and new technologies brought in if you're not going to change the way you do things, right? Because that's the whole idea. You don't want to have to eyeball information anymore. You don't want to have to, right, so yesterday our sales was 100. How do we improve it? No point getting into that situation anymore, right? You should be getting to the next level as, right, I know where the problem areas are with the sales. We should actively go after those problem areas rather than focusing on the number and stuff like that. To me, if you're going to invest this level and you're going to invest in all these people and hiring all of these people, you got to make those changes in the organization, which brought up to your first point, right? If you don't do this, you're not going to survive. But that's the whole idea of how organizations, you got to change the way you do things.
Is there a struggle here in terms of, getting the right mindset to adopt, AI or artificial intelligence? Or do you see us, going to a wrong direction of moving to AI?
Not necessarily. I think we are at the right time. Sometimes we generally in Malaysia, we always have this wait and see attitude, right? So we don't have this pioneering entrepreneurial mentality. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good, right? So we like to wait and see attitude. But I'm happy to say that the organizations we work with that immediately see the value of what analytics does for them, right? One of the examples I didn't mention just now is we help with a lot of financial services bank to help them manage the risk. And the risk of doing business, the risk of them giving out money to consumers or who come in for the loan is huge. And sometimes it causes them a lot of underwriting stuff, right? Yeah. So again, the use of AI, is use of machine learning, is being used there to calculate the algorithms to understand whether this individual is high risk or low risk and whether we should do business with them.
Mm.
And again, the use of this is helping organizations propel forward. I'm glad to say that these organizations we work with see the value of analytics, and it's actually helping those organizations move forward. If compared to 5 years ago, I think things have improved a lot more. And I think that's probably why you see the buzzword for machine learning and AI even becoming more acceptable to a lot of people, because people already understand what analytics is all about, right? Mm. So I think they're taking it to the next level and trying to what we call monetize it, make use of this to actually really help improve the business. Otherwise, there's no point doing it. Mm.
So we've spoken about, you know, all the benefits. We know about the benefits that AI can bring. We've read about it. We've heard about it. You know, we've seen examples as well. Where do we start? Where would someone start in this AI journey?
Oh, very, very good question. I think I alluded to it just now. The point is you got to have the use case, the business case. What exactly is the business problem you're trying to solve, right? Mm. And if you're just going to go in and jump in and say, hey, I'm going to start putting sensors and devices in this company, I'm going to collect whole sets of data, the question becomes why, you know? And I've got into meetings and customer says, you know, I want to see your AI and stuff like that. I said, great, why? Then they look at me and they're like, why are you asking me this question? Aren't you here to come and sell me? I'm not here to come and sell you anything. And we come and help you solve your business problem. Mm. What exactly is the business problem you're trying to solve? And it's struggle. And sometimes it's struggle. Sometimes they actually have clear definitions. So it's interesting. You need to have a real use case. So the organizations, like the examples that I mentioned just now, is like, you know, they have quality issues with the production. They want to identify where exactly they're facing quality issues, where exactly and when exactly they're facing machine breakdowns. Once you have identified that use case, then it's easy, because then you can go back and start collecting the relevant data, the right sets of data that's relevant to the use case, right? And then you start, once you've got sure that you've collected the data and stored the data in a specific way, then you start building the algorithms and the modelings to see, right, okay, but build that artificial intelligence, machine learning algorithms to say, if this happens, you do this. If this happens, you do this. If this happens, you do this.
Mm.
Which essentially what a human being would do, right? Today, if I get up, I walk out the door. Because I've already got in my brains, that's what I would do immediately after this, right? So you set, basically AI and machine learning will be building a series of rules that the machine command would follow in their respect. Yeah.
So it's not just, you know, I can come up to, you know, any, you know, provider of a solution, of a technology solution that would, you know, have data analytics or advanced machine learning or algorithm processing in place. I can't just go and say, like, you know, I just want to increase my sales. That's why I want AI to be. It's a bit, you know.
You can start with that.
You can start.
You can start.
Because generally, that's how everyone will want to start. I want to use it because I want to increase my sales. Okay, I want to sell more people,
Then the interesting question will be, is it, all right, what's your sale now and where do you want to be? Where do you think you should be based on the capacity that you have today, right?
Mm.
So once we have that series of conversations, we know where your problem. Everybody wants to increase their sales, right? So, but if you have, you know, if you've got 20 people and you know each people should be able to sell X amount of dollars, so based that should be the revenue you should be achieving, and they're not achieving that target because they're way beyond that target.
Yeah,
that's how you start to build up, right? And, but if you have you have that good problem to start with, let's home in on that.
Yeah.
And once we have the problem, then we start collecting the relevant data, because then we start to put in the measures, right? We start to put in, okay, how many calls the person makes, how many visits that the person makes, and we build that database of system, and then we can start to say, right, these are the problem areas. This person not making enough calls, this person not making enough things, or maybe your product's too expensive. You never know. Because those are data that you have today. You never extrapolated that or correlated data with what your comparative products are. Then you start to understand, oh, okay, that's the reason why my sales is not meeting, because I'm pricing my product way too high. My competition's below what I'm charging and stuff like that. So yeah, start somewhere and then you'll get that.
Speaking of, you know, prices and stuff, is AI expensive to get into?
Oh, interesting question. Yes and no, right? If, you know, the point where you start to look at a corporate level, it may not be expensive, because today technology, hardware has become so much cheaper, the ability for you to store data has become so much cheaper, cloud providers has brought the per unit cost of storing data a lot cheaper. So it itself, I don't think it's any expensive than what a corporate, I'm talking from a corporate point of view, right? So for corporates, this AI is all perspective. The cost of AI is perspective, because at the end of the day, if it's going to help you, a $1 million investment is going to help you solve a $10 million problem in the next 3 years, then that makes sense, right? Mm. Otherwise, you know, it will become expensive. Mm. If you're trying to have a $1 million solution to solve a $300,000 problem, what's the point?
Right? It's again going back to the fundamental. Yeah. What do you want AI to do in your organization?
Yeah. So to answer your question, expensive is all perspective. You know, it's really at the end of the day, if it's the ROI is there to help them solve that big problem. Which is what I say, if the use case is there, and if you calculate what the cost of the use case is, if the defects in the quality of the issue, the machine breaks down there, costing them loss of revenue of X million dollars a day, there itself is the ROI. Mm. You know?
Mm. And Sheikh, to end this very interesting chat I've been having with you now, where does it leave me in the future? Will I still have a job? Is AI really that thing that is just going to take over the world? And everyone's just going to be jobless. Only all these, you know, very highly skilled, advanced IT players will still, you know, be around, you know, managing a few hundred thousands of robots around, going around doing business while I sit at home and munch, you know, snacks. Is that going to be my life for, you know, 2019?
Or imagine doing this interview by the beach somewhere 3 years from now.
That could work too.
There you go. Imagine doing this interview. Yeah. Right? You're sitting by the beach. You don't actually have to face anybody, but you'll be doing this interview by a beach somewhere and the guy's sitting on the other side of the world and you're having this conversation. That could be IoT. Right? That'll be a job for you for life. No. The reality of it, it's interesting how people perceive how new technologies is going to come and disrupt everything and we're going to be lost of a job. Interestingly enough, over the past 12, 15 months when I've been doing research and a lot of people get me for speaking engagements and stuff like that, right? I came across this very interesting term called Luddites. A lot of people don't know this. But the Luddites was essentially a leader of a group of textile manufacturers back in the 17th and 18th century in mid-century England, where the textile manufacturers was usually very labor-intensive. They were using a lot of equipment to push and put the garments together and stuff like that, right? So over time, automations, the Industrial Revolution brought about machines that basically meant the clothes, garments could be produced a lot faster than what humans would do and stuff like that, because it was all manual. There was no automation in there. Suddenly you got motors and belts and
can
and,
run
you
know, 24 hours.
Run 24 hours, right? So essentially this group of people felt left out. They said, like, we're going to gone. Our bread, we're going to lose all our income and the industry is going to go and machines is going to take over and stuff like that. And there was a revolution and this guy basically led this group of people and then they went to the factories and burned the factories down. Mm. What they fail to realize is that their knowledge, what they had, not from a physical sense, but what the knowledge they had in their brains, was what was being thereafter.
Yeah.
So they actually went and tapped the skills, the knowledge that these people had, and put that into the machine's capabilities. Actually, they didn't lose their job. Mm. They were actually realized that they were far better individuals because they didn't actually have to do labor intensive. The machine did all the hard work for them, but the brains they had was being used for the right use. And so they realized over time, life was a lot better for them because they got to spend more time, learning and rather than being just physical.
Not so tired all the time, right?
And spend more time with the families and stuff like that. So likewise here, with all the ride-sharing stuff that we've seen in the last few years and all the furor around it, people start to realize that actually, as consumers, it brought about general patterns. You're not going to be out of the job. You just have to figure out how to work with this and make better sense of it. I'm very excited about this because I think it helps improve a lot of things in a lot of the decision-making processes with organizations today, and especially a lot of manufacturing processes where due to humans' error, where you have to eyeball certain information, things does slip through the net and stuff like that, right? So it brings about shortfall in these processes. I'm very excited because I think this will help a lot of organizations improve the delivery of the services, improve the products that they have to offer. Mm. I think generally, consumers as a whole, and people as a whole, will definitely benefit from this.
Mm. I still want to do an interview by the beach in 3 years' time. I have so hope so. I've been speaking to Sheikh Manzoor Ghani. He's the Executive Director of Operations for SAS Malaysia, and we were talking about how you can benefit and get on the artificial bandwagon. Well, it's not really a bandwagon because it's, you know, it's real.
It's already here.
It's already here. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.